We're paying tribute to all the mothers in our land on this Mother's Day, Sunday, May the 8th, 2022. Well, you know, you can be a godly mother even in this ungodly world. That's the subject of today's message. Some 600 students in college were asked to write down the most beautiful word in the English language. Out of that 600, 522 of them wrote the word mother or mama or mom or some derivative thereof. Our scripture today is found in Titus chapter 2, verses 3 through 5, reading from the CSB today. In the same way, older women are to be reverent in behavior, not slanderers, not slaves to excessive drinking. They are to teach what is good, so that they may encourage the young women to love their husbands and to love their children, to be self-controlled, pure workers at home, kind, and in submission to their husbands, so that God's word will not be slandered. Well, it's Mother's Day all across America on this Sunday, May the 8th. And in this ever-darkening, sinful world in which we live, we're less and less shocked by the things that we encounter or hear about from afar. Women's right to choose, they declare it, is a pregnant mother's right to have her baby executed before he's born. And just this week, it was leaked out that the Supreme Court is now set to overturn Roe v. Wade, that infamous Supreme Court decision that struck down laws forbidding abortion and granted that, quote, right to abortion to women everywhere. Ever since that fateful day, millions of babies have died, often in the name of convenience or some other lame excuse. And as I bring this part of the message to you today, there are those who would accuse me of bringing politics into the church as I mention anything to do with abortion. But ladies and gentlemen, this is not politics. It's a moral issue, first described by God Himself in the Ten Commandments, one that was taught all through the Bible that teaches us we shall not murder other people, especially the innocent. The most innocent among us are babies, and those babies who have not yet been born are still in the protective care of their mothers. Well, in spite of all the rhetoric about preborn babies not being human and that it's quite a separate individual person from his or her mother, the true science of that is otherwise worshiped today when it comes to man-made climate change or about any other topic that is treasured by those who wish to recreate God in their own image so they can reset the globe and basically eliminate Christianity from the culture. The truth of God lives on in spite of that. There are still mothers everywhere who are godly mothers raising their children in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. I felt it necessary to bring these points to your attention today because of the world we live in that is trying to destroy the goodness of what motherhood is all about. Well, actually, they want to destroy everything that has to do with Christianity. But it's time to take a stand. It's time for those of us who know Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior to stand up for the truth that says God has a better plan and God's will for this earth is that all should come to repentance and that none should perish. But whether we do that or not is in our hands. It's our choice. You know, somebody once aptly said that the hand that rocks the cradle rules the world. That is so true. It was ordained by God Himself that a mother's love would be the greatest human love on the earth, and that apart only from God's love. You see, a mother's influence on her children would be the greatest human influence that child would have. And even if there is another facet of this relationship that the world leaves off, when a mother gives her heart to Christ and loves the Lord first, giving her children to God and allowing God to give them back as He sees fit, a whole different set of worldviews emerges. But God established free will in mankind from the foundation of the world. The child ultimately matures, making his own decisions in life about everything. But no matter which way this child goes, even if he goes the wrong direction, his godly mama's influence will never leave that child when he grows up. That's how powerful a mother's love really is. It's so true that the most powerful hurt in the world is when a child goes the wrong direction and ends up dying or becoming injured so badly that he can't live very long or he lives in a vegetative state. That mother feels the most tragic feeling in the world when that happens. I've seen mamas grieve their hearts out over a child that destroyed his life and many lives around him, including those of his own children and family. One thing that is so vital to remember is that parents, both mothers and fathers, are responsible to their children, but parents are never responsible for their children. If you're grieving over a child that went the wrong direction, let me tell you today, you were responsible to teach them about Christ. You were responsible to love them and to show them the way. You were responsible to be sure they were raised in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. But many times children make their choice, even after being raised in a godly family, to go the wrong direction. That's because they made their own choice when they grew up. We have to realize we're not responsible for our children, nor their decisions or their actions. We're responsible to teach them the truth. Beyond that, the Bible says that when they're old, they'll not depart from it. You know, that scripture talks a lot about that. When you train up a children in the way they should go, when they're old, they'll not depart from it. I said this to one parent one time, and I think it's so very true. You'll notice that verse doesn't say anything about when that child is young, not departing from that truth. Sometimes that happens. But you know, if a child lives long enough and doesn't damage their life to the point of no return, when they do get old, they will remember. And even if they're damaged, believe me, they never forget what they were taught. The Bible says this about a child and his choices. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 11, "When I was a child, I spoke like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things." And see, that's what it's all about. A child will ultimately remember their mother's love. If they forget everything else they learned while they were on this planet, they'll never forget how much their mama loved them. We hear stories every day about wicked mothers who do evil things to their children, children who are born with crack addiction or drug addiction because their mother was addicted to that same drug while she was pregnant with them. We hear evil things happening from abusive parents who lie and cheat and steal, using their children to do everything they want to do, and even at times physically abusing their children, sexually abusing their children, or extreme verbal abuse to their children as they manipulate and try to force them into their mold as they think they ought to be. We hear those stories all the time, and quite often on Mother's Day and Father's Day, it ends up being sermons about how blessed and saintly some parents are and how pathetic and ungodly others are. I promise you I'll never do that again so long as I live. It's not about whether you're a good parent or a bad parent. It's whether you accept Christ and whether you don't. That's the key to all of it. Every bit of your life and the influence you have on your child is based on your walk with Christ. If you don't believe me, just look around. It's everywhere. Mothers and fathers are God's special people and can be used of God to rock that cradle and to rule the world. It's true. The problem is that in this sin-darkened world, so many have departed from God's path, and they've tried to recreate God in some other kind of image who is more tolerant of their sin and less strict about enforcing all of those biblical laws we hear so much about. You know, I wonder in today's society, if we wanted to create a perfect mother for today's society that fits in with all of the ramifications the culture could throw at us, what things would you list as being required elements in this mother's life according to today's modern society standards? Well, I think to begin with, she'd have to be as beautiful as a Barbie doll and as durable as a concrete slab, as tender as a newborn baby but as tough as a rattlesnake. She'd have to have the patience that surpassed Job and tolerance that can emphasize and empathize with a hardened criminal and endure the endless babblings of a know-it-all in their own family, someone who could put up with being abused by her children who were always breaking the rules and always stomping their feet in her face. She'd always have to ask for an explanation and readily accept any excuse they might give as the reason why it was okay for them to do that. Any differences between herself and anybody else would just be ignored by this perfect mother because she would know that what she believes doesn't matter. She'd always use the proper pronouns when addressing anyone in the family who is having a fight over an area they disagreed upon, preferring the I statements rather than the you statements so as to de-escalate any personal animosity and to help keep this strange world she lives in rolling on. Her own viewpoint would be moot since she is such a catalyst for making the world a better place in which to live. Being a catalyst would be the only thing that's important in her world view. She'd always remember that people who value differences and diversity are generally more tolerant of others and are less stressed by ambiguity and uncertainty. So her values, if she has any, are her business, and she never shares them with anyone so as not to place overbearing restrictions on her children. Well, I guess you get the picture for what we're trying to paint today. Today's modern mother would be one who lives with no creed of her own, no beliefs of her own, but would be good at allowing everybody else to have their way. Today's society puts all of its emphasis on a mother's perfect performance as this epitome of a completely liberal and unchristian woman, more now than ever before. For the first time in American history, a relationship with God is not mentioned in a typical description of a good American mother. How sad it is that America has drifted so far from its godly moorings. But ladies and gentlemen, the battle is not over yet. While not a single mother on this planet is perfect, motherhood is never an easy job for any mother. Our culture has embraced its greatest value of being tolerant of anyone and anything that's thrown at us without any regard for our own personal worldview. Mothers live in this sinful world and face the dangers of divorce and sexual immorality and a preoccupation with self-fulfillment. All of this has taken a toll on the family, within her own life and the lives of her own family. While this culture spins out of control and the family unit continues to break down, the Bible has always and continues to lift up the family and exalts the place of the mother in a family. Perhaps you've never thought about it this way. Motherhood is a ministry. That's right. It's a ministry of teaching and preparing children to follow God's pathways and being an example of the love of Christ. It's a ministry of showing the way clearly to our children and our family who follows along behind us. Many years ago, I heard about a missionary who was trying to stir up interest in order to get people to go into a foreign country and preach the gospel there. At the end of the service, a woman dragging a little boy behind her, told the missionary, "I just feel like God is calling me to be a missionary." "He is indeed," said the missionary, pointing to the little boy. "And there's the little heathen he wants you to preach to." Well, folks, that's the way it works. When your children are born, they don't know God. They know nothing about the Lord. They know nothing about anything. We have to teach them everything. And folks, when a mama starts to teach her baby something from infancy, it sticks in their mind. And that is why being a mother is a ministry. It's her mission field to reach her children with the nurture and admonition of Christ. Now, that doesn't mean the husband's not involved. In fact, he is as involved as a mother is. It's vitally important for a father to be involved as well. But in our culture, many times single parents are raising children and they have to do what they can do with what they have. And it's up to us as a church to support and love them, support them by helping them for the sake of their children. In our scripture passage today, we find that Titus was ministering to a pagan environment among Christians who had a background in such violence and dishonesty and immorality that the Cretans became legendary for this worldview. Let's take one more quick look at Titus chapter 2, verses 3 through 5, just as we read a few minutes ago. "In the same way, older women are to be reverent in behavior, not slanderers nor slaves to excessive drinking. They're to teach what is good, so that they may encourage young women to love their husbands and to love their children, to be self-controlled, pure, workers at home, kind, and in submission to their husbands, so that God's word will not be slandered to their children." So vital for a woman and a mother to be in the middle of God's will. Christian women in the day of Titus were trying to be godly, but they were living in a supremely ungodly society. That sounds familiar. The Christian women, the older Christian women, were exhorted to teach and to train the younger women in the more noble and excellent and beautiful and godly things of life, regardless of how those things the younger women knew already lined up with culture. Older Christian women in that culture were taught to teach young mothers how to be a godly example and a godly mother in an ungodly world. This advice is ancient, but it definitely is still in force. It definitely has the power to be very effective in today's backwards, confused, and sin-darkened world. There is unbelievable power in a godly woman who teaches younger women how to live for Jesus. This is particularly what it means when we say, "The hand that rocks the cradle rules the world." Pray that that hand that rocks the cradle is a godly hand, leading that child directly to Christ. Here are some ways that a mama can become or continue to be a godly Christian woman and a mother. The first and foremost thing that a mama can do for her child is to love his father. Love your husband. The marriage relationship must take priority. That's the way God set it up. Ephesians 5, 22 through 33 lays down the principles that should govern our homes, where the husband and wife desire to love each other in the will of God, where a husband loves his wife as Christ loved the church. And ladies, I had somebody ask me, "What about that verse that says I have to submit to my husband?" Well, you know what? I was told this way one time. I think it was Adrian Rogers who said, "A woman who has a husband that loves her like Christ loved the church can't help but submit to that godly husband." Now, if you've got a husband who is not godly, start praying that God will change his heart. pray and lift him up to God every day. And if you need some help with that, you find a pastor that'll help guide you through your particular situation. You know what? What we need is not sympathy in this case, ladies and gentlemen. What we need is a good dose of Christ. Because when you get that dose of Christ, no matter where you are, you know what to do with it. And you know how to love people. And sometimes, as Dr. James Dobson was talking about, it requires love to be tough. Sometimes your love has to be tough love. It has to be love that stands up against evil. It has to be the kind of love that stands up for Jesus, but also the kind of love whose heart is broken when people's lives are broken. When it's your own child whose life is broken. When it's your spouse's life whose life is broken. It breaks your heart too. And that is when God can bless the most. That's when you've got to trust him the most. That's when he will bless you the most. That's a promise. I've seen it happen. But give it all to Jesus if you want it to happen. When a husband loves his wife, as Christ loved the church, would die for her, it's easy to submit to him, Adrian Rogers said. In doing this, God can bless your union more than you ever could imagine, because your marriage becomes more like the relationship with Christ and his church. Oh, people, listen to me. Submit to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. But we forget about the first part. Submit to God. Give it to him, and throw him out of your marriage. You're a born-again child of God. Satan has no business in your marriage, in your life, in your kid's life. Stand up to him. You have that right as a child of God, but you can't do it alone. The Bible tells us how to do it. Submit to God. Then you resist the devil, and he has to flee from you. When marriage relationship is the number one priority, and it's following the teachings of the Bible about having a biblical and a godly marriage, several things will happen. That husband and wife will find the most fulfilled they've ever been in all of their lives on anything they've ever seen on planet Earth. Then they will see their children, who will learn how to have a successful marriage while they're young, and they'll take it with them into their marriage when they get older. And the husband and wife will both be aware of the dangers of placing their other pursuits and priorities above their marriage relationship. You see, it should be this way. A marriage should be a triangle. That's right, 3 points. The husband and the wife make up the 2 points at the base of that triangle, and God makes up the apex, the tip, the crowning part. And you see, if you study the laws of triangle, when the husband and wife come together, they're automatically closer to the apex. But when both move toward the apex from the base, they automatically get close to each other a lot faster. You can actually have on that triangle husband and wife drawing together without drawing toward God. And ladies and gentlemen, they'll eventually crash into one another at the base of that triangle. Get close to God. Submit to God. Resist the devil, and he must flee from you. This is in contrast to the ungodliness of this world, where personal happiness and personal pleasure is placed above every other priority. Godly mothers in an ungodly world love their husbands and teach their children. They stand up to an ungodly world and tell their children, this is wrong and this is right, according to what God has said. When that happens, miracles take place. You don't believe in miracles? Start praying. Start seeking God. Start getting close to God and watch him work miracles in your children, in your marriage, and in your life. Second thing to do, ladies, to stay close to to God is to love your children. You love your spouse, now love your children. If you love your husband, women, mamas, love your children. Loving our children does not mean giving them everything they want, or making sure they keep up with the world in the latest fashions, or allowing them to make their own religious decisions without any guidance. My wife and I once worked with a woman whose grown daughter took advantage of her mother. She trusted her daughter implicitly. This mama's daughter took her mother's credit card, ran it to the limit. She borrowed money in her mother's name, very much money in her mother's name, and other things of this nature through the years, unbeknownst to her mother. When her mama found out about it, the daughter and her husband had taken over her mama's cell phone and all of her social media accounts. They had hacked into them. They could now monitor everything she said or everything she did, whether it was email or whether it was social media or anything on the telephone. It was a clear-cut instance of abuse, theft. There were several charges that young lady and her husband could have had brought against them. When that mama found out, she was devastated that her daughter would repay her years of love and affection the way she did. Upon investigation, we found out when that mother's child was a baby, she gave her everything she wanted. Having a good job and a good income with she and her husband, they doted upon her anything she wanted. Every whim she thought about came true. If she dreamed about something, she got it. As a teenager, she got a new car almost every year that passed by. As a teenager, she was given the most expensive clothes and the most exotic dress that she wanted. Anything, the further out on a limb she went, the more mom and dad agreed and went with her out on that limb. She began to get in trouble later in high school as she started in drugs. She even was arrested a time or two at a bust at a party. Mom and dad went down to the jail immediately and bailed her and her friends out of jail. What do you think that little girl did? She went right back to the pit. She went right back to the drugs and the drinking and the abuse. After she was married, it got much, much worse, as I told you before. Ladies and gentlemen, our advice to that mama was the advice given in Dr. Dobson's book when he said, if you have an adult child who is abusing you, it's time to cut them off. You have to cut them off first. If you don't cut them off, it'll never end. If you don't put some distance between you and that child, they'll bring you down. They'll drag you into the mud with them. They want you to be down there where they are. That's one thing about a child who's out of control that they have in common. They can't stand it when mom and dad are still up on the perch, and in their eyes, they're down in the mud because things fell apart. So, ladies and gentlemen, do what that woman did and cut your abusive child off. I know what I'm talking about. It's hard to do. It's the most difficult thing you will ever encounter in your lifetime. But believe me, it's better to do it than to let them continue their crash dive, because eventually it'll take their life. They'll have an overdose or an accident while driving. There'll be a lot of things that could happen to your child. And ladies and gentlemen, it'll be partially your fault. Because, as Dr. Dobson said in his book, when you go down and pay those fines and when you allow that kind of behavior, you are enabling that behavior. You're not stopping that behavior by paying for their punishment yourself. You don't stop them from bad behavior by taking their punishment on yourself. You stop that bad behavior by cutting yourself off from them and by allowing them to crash on their own. It's going to be hard to watch them hit bottom. It's going to be hard to step back and watch it crash and burn all around you. But once the fire is out, and once that child is at rock bottom, they'll see you and they'll remember the love you had for them, and they'll come running back. Don't you take them back like you had them to start with. You take them back under your conditions. Remember the biblical story and an account of Hosea? Hosea had a wife who became a harlot. And this wife ran around on him and took back into being a harlot even while married with him. She ran away and eventually lost control of her life. Hosea didn't know what had happened to her until one day he was in town and there was his wife being sold as a slave girl, as a sex slave, being sold at auction that day. Can you imagine men seeing your wife on that pedestal? Even through all the things she had done, all the hurt she had brought to Hosea, he still had enough of God in him to have compassion on her. So he went there and he bought her himself. And then he set her free. She wanted to come back home. She begged him for another chance. And at first he was very reluctant to allow her to come back. But then he told her, I'll let you come back, but under my conditions. And he gave her some of the most strenuous conditions imaginable. He wanted her to prove her love for him. She said she loved him. She said she was sorry. But they had been down that road and she had defied him even after many times of being forgiven. Well, that's the way it is with a child. You've got to cut them off. You've got to let them hit bottom. They're going to get mad at you and they're going to complain, say it's your fault. But you know you didn't make the decisions. And believe me, when they do hit bottom, and they will hit bottom, they'll come back and they'll want another chance. That's your opportunity to be like Hosea and to take them back under God's conditions. Not that they accept Christ immediately, but that their behavior change. See, when their behavior changes, they're going to stick around. They know they need you. And when their behavior changes, you'll be able to talk to them. And eventually, God will bring them home. It won't do any good to force them to go to church as an adult. But you can tell them, if you're going to live in my house, then you're going to do this. And that could include going to church. You've got to be careful. Ask for help if you're in that situation. But you know what? Many people are not in that situation. Many people still are married, still have kids at home. And for those of you who are there, remember, love your child. Don't spoil him rotten. Don't turn him into a dependent criminal by giving him too much. Discipline that child. Discipline is a sign of love. Instill the Christian worldview into them. Teach them to love Christ above everything else. Care for their spiritual and emotional and their physical needs. I'm reminded of your sincere faith, Paul said to Timothy in 2 Timothy 1:5, a faith that dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and now I'm sure it dwells in you as well. That's your goal. And finally today, develop Christian character. There are four areas. I give them to you quickly. One, be self-controlled. That word means to be discreet or sensible or live wisely. It means to be sober-minded. The young woman is to think about what she's doing with her life, why it's important how she dresses and who it is she attracts from the opposite gender. The Cretans were known for a lack of self-control. This is a fruit of the Spirit, self-control. Women should adorn themselves in respectable apparel with modesty and self-control. And I'll add, men, it's the same for you. It may be different from a physical reason, and that's why it's mentioned this way in the Bible. It's common sense that men look at women because that's how it works. If you don't know what I mean, look it up. But I can tell you this, women look at men also. The second thing to develop your Christian character is to be pure. Purity in your marriage, purity in your home, purity in your life. Submit to your husband. Love your husband as Christ loved the church. The third one is to work at home. You know, sometimes, and I don't mean necessarily have your job at home, but work at home. Ladies, your job in the home cannot be slighted. Many people have to work and have another career, but your career of raising your children and maintaining your home is your first responsibility. If you can't maintain that, you're going to lose your family while you're trying to make a living. I don't mean that to be anti-work. That's not what that is. But you've got to be careful and maintain that balance. And if you don't maintain that balance, you get out of balance. And when you do, you're going to fall. Then be kind. Kindness goes a long way in fixing a lot of anger. These character qualities are different than what the world says, and they are common in our culture today. Heard about a little boy who was sitting on his front steps with his face cradled in his hands, looking forlorn. His dad had come home and just then asked him what was wrong. The little boy looked up and said, "Well, just between us, Dad, I'm having trouble getting along with your wife, too." From the mouth of babes. You know, husbands, if you're having trouble getting along with your wife, don't expect your children to get along with their mother either. It's a whole thing. Remember the triangle? It's a thing about loving God first and putting God first. Your children are watching. They watch everything you do. The mom ministry, one of the toughest assignments God ever gave anybody. He's got to be as insightful as a psychologist. She's got to be as tough as a Marine Corps drill instructor and as gentle as a nurse. She's got to be a labor and management negotiator, a teacher, an electrician, a plumber, and a carpenter. It requires an endless supply of energy, a massive amount of patience, and an iron will, and a recognition of the fact that if she ever gets sick, she's got to get well by the end of the school day. Being a godly mother in an ungodly world is not an easy task. Thank God for you, godly mothers. I stand here today thanking God for you. Your hand rocks the cradle, and I guarantee it rules the world. Don't ever stop rocking that cradle, and don't ever stop being godly mothers.
When Mama prayed, heaven paid attention.
Yesteryears of childhood, Mama taught me that having fun was Sunday morning meeting time. Every time that those church bells rung, and after the family devotions at night, why she'd lead me up those stairs. And that's where I first heard the echo of my dear old sweet old mama's prayer.
And when mama
of missiles, tanks and ships and guns, when men believe there's just one way that a war is ever won, well, I've had that secret weapon that all the bombs cannot compare, for I've won.
Want to say a special thank you for listening to Sunday Worship. That's all the time we have for the program. And do be sure to listen twice on Sunday, 11 o'clock on Sunday morning, and again at 6 p.m. that evening, all Central Time. Go to the website, joychristianradio.com. Use a credit card or debit card there. You can text it. Text the word GIVE, the amount in dollars, to 833-843-2848. Or you can mail it in. The address is Post Office Box 6, Quitman, Mississippi, 39355. Thank you for your prayers, and thank you for your financial contributions that keep us on the air. This is Joy Christian Radio. Have yourself a wonderful day, and I'll see you next time on Sunday Worship.